sing, so you better sing good, all right? 185, 185. That's Sam again, if you feel like it. If you don't, that's okay to say Sam. I understand. Number 185. Singing the good old hymns,
right,
and forget the contemporary garbage that's out there. Keep on singing these good old hymns. Well, grandson to the special speaker will sing for us.
We were talking at dinner on Friday night about some of the songs that my grandparents like, and one of the songs that my grandmother said is her favorite song is the one I'm going to sing this morning. And I couldn't help but overhear when my grandfather shook hands with Lance Gottwald here, and the first thing Lance said to him was, "Tell us about Jesus." And that's what this song is about.
Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. I want to see my Savior's face. Here comes my old friend, the preacher. Knocking on my front door. Says I'm trying to save all the sinners. He's been here so many times before. I love the easy conversation. Man, that that preacher sure can talk. He brings up my need for salvation, even though he knows I'm stubborn to a fault. Tell me one more time about Jesus, all about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. Lord, I need just a little more faith. Walked by the church Sunday morning, slipped on in the back row. It's sure been a long time a-coming. Tell me, preacher, what I need to know. Words were like a cool drink of water. He said, sinners, come on down the aisle. So I went a-running for the altar. You should have seen my old friend, the preacher, smile. About forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. I want to see my Savior's face. Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. I want to see my Savior's face.
We have the privilege of listening to Ray Street Baptist Church services online. And I'm not supposed to do this. This is ladies' stuff, you know. Ralph Yarnell, it's good to see you. I preached for your grandfather, 1988, back in Marietta, Ohio. He was a blessed man. I enjoyed him and his wife. 59 years ago, I trusted the Lord as my Savior on a Saturday night at my own church in a youth rally. The evangelist, name was Larry McGill. He was a representative for some time with the Pocket Testament League in South America. And the night I got saved, he said, I want you to take this little book home. It's a Gospel of John. It's a red cover. I took it home. He said, I want you to read it. And he said, I'd like you to pay special attention to the underlying verses and memorize them if you can. That's 59 years ago. And I took it and I read it. And you know what? 59 years later, I still keep coming back to the Gospel of John. And I find more and more things there that I didn't see before. If you'd like to have a copy of this, I brought several with me. I'd be glad to give you a copy. It fits right in your shirt pocket. I handed one to an employee at Walmart several weeks ago. He was reading some paperback junk. I don't know what it was. But I stopped him. I said, he was sitting there reading on his break. I said, young man, I said, I have a little book here that changed my life. I said, I'd like to give you a copy of it. A couple of weeks went by, and I asked him one day, I said, have you had a chance to look at that book, read that book I gave you? He said, no, I haven't. You might pray for him. He's a tall, lanky fellow, works in Walmart, and every time I go by him, he always says hello, and I say hello, he smiles. We chat maybe a minute, but don't say too much usually. But I'm going to keep after him. One of these days, I'm going to ask him again, by the way, did you get to read that book yet? It changed my life. My wife knows how it changed my life. I'm going to read to you a verse, and I'm going to have you turn to it. In the Believer's New Testament this morning, I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. In the Believer's New Testament. The reason I say believers, after you've cried a while, you have to blow your nose. But I say I'd like you to look at your Believer's New Testament. That's a King James Bible. Amen. The unbeliever's New Testament is all the other modern versions that have come along that have no authority because they've been mutilated in over 5,000 places. And so we refer to it as the unbeliever's Bible because it was the unbelievers who translated it. This Bible you hold in your hand, your King James New Testament, was written by the Holy Spirit of God, copied and preserved by the saints of God in Greek all the way to 1611, and then it was translated into English, and we've had it for over 400 years. And Lord willing, in February, I'll be preaching at Pensacola Christian College to probably 4,000 students, and my title will be The King James Bible and Why We Do Not Accept Other Modern Versions of the Bible. And my topic will always be, they gave my son a different Bible. And that's why they bring me down there, for that reason and that reason only. So you're at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. And what I read, I guess I better put these glasses on. They're nothing more just to make it a little bit bigger, that's all. I had implants put in my eye a couple years ago, so I don't need glasses anymore. But when I get this close, I have to have a little magnification. Hebrews 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessed opportunity to be here with people that I've known for years and loved for years, with my son, who's preached here for 39 years. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to share the Word of God this morning with each one who's come, and I pray that you'll give me the strength and the power and the help that I need to bring these things that I've written down for them to hear. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There are two words in this verse that I have to start out with. Of course, I look at the word neglect. How shall we escape if we neglect? I looked up the word neglect. It means to be careless, to make light of, to have no regard for. That's like today. People who knew and know about Jesus, but they have no respect for him. They're careless about who he is, and they make light of anything that he might have said. And people in this country are not reading the Word of God. It's quite evident by watching the way they live. The other word, escape. How shall we escape? It means to flee from the judgment of God. How shall we escape? Well, you cannot escape the judgment of God if you neglect so great salvation. I wondered why the Lord put the word so in front of there. And I remembered another verse in John 3:16. It says, God so loved the world. It doesn't say God loved the world. It says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He went so far as to offer up his only begotten son. And when you read that word only begotten, it means one of a kind, never to be duplicated again. There is no one like him, like his son. And he will not be duplicated again. He is one of a kind. The Greek word monogenes means one of a kind, never to be brought forth again. Then he says here, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? This is not just great salvation. It goes beyond what we would expect. Goes farther than you would expect God to go. So great salvation. And so I sat down one day and I started to write down things that are so great about my salvation. I one time I had 8 points here, but I combined one, so I've got 7 points. I preached this back in my own church in Minier, Illinois, and the lady came up to me afterwards. She said, how many points did you say you had? I said, I had 8. She said, I wrote down 13. Well, I said, that's good. I'm glad you got them all. Point number one, and when I say I've got 7 points, doesn't mean I'm going to preach till 2 o'clock. I can't do that. We do have to go to lunch sometime. I don't know when, but sometime. You know what? I'd rather preach than eat, wouldn't you? Would you rather hear than eat?
Yep.
Well, I heard one anyhow. That's good. Number one, it is so great because of who it is that brought it to us. Who was it that brought it to us? And I go back to the Gospel of John and I start John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When it says, and the Word was with God, remember, we have a God who's a Trinity. And we find that in the first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God, Elohim, that's a Hebrew word. It means more than one, more than two. Actually, it's plural. I mean, they had a dual case in Hebrew, but it wasn't that. It's a plural word, and it refers to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so here it says, in the beginning, In verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That word "with God" means he was facing God. He was looking in his face. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of course, then we know John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, the Son came to the world, sent from the Father. It's so great because of who it was that brought it to us. The God-man, the sinless one. Point number two, it is so great because of what it cost to save us. Said he was the sinless one. Imagine, one sinless man who walked the face of this earth. One. No others. None before, none after. One sinless man. God created him and placed him in the womb of the Virgin Mary and brought him into the world as God come in the flesh. And we read in our Believer's New Testament, in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And if you have the unbeliever's New Testament, they removed in whom we have redemption, they removed the words through his blood. Through his blood, they took it out. That's important. You can't take that out. In whom we have redemption. We've been redeemed. We've been bought back by the sinless one, the God-man who shed his blood for me. And it goes further than that. If I were to take you to Acts 20 and verse 28, I'll just tell you what it says. But in Acts 20 verse 28, the Apostle Paul called for the elders of the church in Ephesus to come meet him at a city called Miletus. And they came to meet Paul because he was on his way traveling back to Jerusalem. And they came to meet him and he talked to them. And he said, I've not withheld anything. I've given you all the truth. And he said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to feed the church of God, which he, God, hath purchased with his own blood. Amen. That's eternal blood. And that blood, even now as I speak and as you sit here, appears on the mercy seat in heaven, where the angels of God look upon the mercy seat to make sure that you and I are ever going to be allowed to go there. Because he shed his blood for me and I believed it. And I received him as my Savior, and his blood cleanses me from all sin. And his blood is on that mercy seat in heaven, and it'll always be there. And when I get to heaven, I will see that I was saved by the blood of the crucified one. Then number three, it is so great salvation because it terminated my condemnation. I read in my Bible in Romans 5:18 that by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. And I look around my world, and of course, I see that the whole world is condemned. I look at lost people, and I realize they are condemned. And I was condemned. And before I got saved at the age of 24, If I had died, I would have gone to hell. Thank God I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
My pastor said that first down in Illinois. When he did, it kind of shocked me for a minute. He said, thank God I'm not going to hell. Yes, I'm glad for the same reason. You know, it ends my condemnation. John 3:18, again I get back to John, the Gospel of John. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You meet people and you talk to them about the Lord and they say, well, I go to a church, and well, I don't go to church, or well, I'm very religious. And you know, they're condemned and I can't reach them. I have a tract that I wrote, and I give it to people. Jesus said, you must be born again. I leave it with every waitress in the restaurant. I give it to people when I go to Hardee's to get a cup of coffee in the morning. Hardee's became my office for 3 months. The tornado knocked me out of my house for 3 months. And Mom and I were staying in an apartment 30 miles away. And I used to go back up to take care of the things that were necessary. I had to call the State Farm insurance man frequently. I had to talk to the contractor frequently. I had to talk to the bank frequently. They had all the insurance money and they wrote out the checks to the contractor. And so I got a cup of coffee and I made it my office. And now that we're back home, I still go to my office. And I still meet people that I met before. And some of them, I met a man the other day, 93 years old. He's just sitting there drinking coffee. And he said, good morning. Well, see, that's the wrong thing. As soon as he said good morning, I said, well, good morning. How you doing? And you know what? Before I got done, he got one of these. Take along with him. He's 93 years old. I don't know how much longer he's got to go. I'll be 84 next month. I don't know how much longer I have to go. But I know one thing. I'm going to heaven. And the Lord ended my condemnation. Oh, wow. Number 4. This is a good one. It is so great salvation because it provided power over sin. Romans 6, 17, 18, 22 says this, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Notice that word doctrine. You know what? I hate to tell you, but I've met a lot of preachers in 59 years, and I've listened to a lot of preachers, and I've been in and out of a lot of churches. And you know what's the matter with our new generation of preachers? They don't know Bible doctrine. They don't know anything about doctrine. All they know about is how to run a business. They could be called not pastors, they could be called CEOs. Executive officer. I'm telling you the truth, it's sad out there. You're very fortunate. I have a man in my church back home where we go. He's a janitor. He works a night shift in a public school. And he has his own office in there. And when he gets done picking up the garbage and sweeping the floors and all of that, and there's nobody watching him, you know, he's on his own time clock. In fact, he's contracted by the year. And so he goes in there in his office and he turns on Ray Street Baptist Church Online. He says, I listen to your son preach. He said, he gets going sometimes and I just sit there in my easy chair and I say, amen, brother. He says, I love it. Tell him, he said, I love it. But Gary's met him. His name is Ron McComb. Bless his heart. He loves him and he loves me too. But how did I went down a little rabbit trail there. That form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin. Isn't that good? Free from sin. Ye became the servants of righteousness. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. And we were quoting from Romans 6. And if you read Romans 6, there's no water in there. It talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you trusted Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, came upon you and you were born again. And He placed you in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you are in Christ and you cannot get out. By the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now I know in many Baptist local churches that doesn't fly. No, that's about water baptism. No, it's not about water baptism. Amen. Water baptism never put anyone into the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may have typified it, but it didn't make you a new creature in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I got saved that night. I had joined the Baptist church. They gave me the right hand of fellowship and the left hand of envelopes. They expected 10% of my income. I thought, well, I guess, 6 months later, this preacher came along in a Youth for Christ rally on a Saturday night. And I raised my hand and I trusted the Lord as my Savior. And he gave me a copy of this and we prayed and I asked the Lord to save me. And he gave me a copy of this. For 6 months, my wife had to live with me. She was a Baptist, but she was an empty profession. She'll tell you. She doesn't get hurt when I say this. She was an empty profession. And for 6 months, she saw the change in my life. And it was getting to her. And I'd come home from work, and I had a Bible, and I'd read it, and I'd come home, and, hey, Mom, you know what I found in the Bible today? And I'd tell her. And this went on day in and day out. She couldn't take it. She's getting sick of it. So we went to a camp meeting out in the Bible conference grounds nearby. And the same preacher was there. And he preached. He said, if you don't get saved tonight, you'll never get saved. There comes a time when God says, I've had enough of you. That's it. And you can try all you want. You may never get saved. It happens. And when the Holy Spirit says, who was it, Agrippa? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. No record he ever got saved. None. When the Lord calls. And that night, the invitation was given to come to Christ as Savior, and out the door went my wife. Out the back door. She didn't come down the front to the altar, she went out the back door. And I have my kids with me, and I'm looking around, where'd she go? I couldn't find her. We searched the grounds. We went to play where they made coffee or ice cream cones, and she wasn't there. Now, she likes ice cream, but she wasn't there. And finally, she came walking towards us out of the parking lot. I said, where have you been? She said, I've been out in the car. I said, what you been doing out in the car? Well, I asked the Lord to save me. I asked the Lord to be my Savior. Well, amen. And she started reading the Bible. And pretty soon she's telling me, You know what I read today? Man, now she's bugging me. It's a wonderful way to be bugged. Yeah. But you know what? It's so great salvation because for the first time in your life, you have the power and the ability to overcome sin in your life. You do not have to sin. It says you're free from sin. If you sin, it's only because you choose to. But the Holy Spirit of God who lives in your heart is going to say to you every time you're sinning, hey, psst, psst, hey you, I'm in here. You know, when you trusted the Lord as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came in and He sealed you. He closed the door. And He said, I'm staying, I'm not leaving. What a blessing. Where are we? Number 5. This great salvation is so great because it gave us eternal life. John 17:3. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God is abiding on him. Oh boy. I have eternal life. May I ask you, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, will you go to heaven? You say, I can't. Don't tell me you can't answer that. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. Now tell me which way you're going. I know you're going to one place or the other. There's no purgatory. Roman Catholicism is a big lie. There's no purgatory. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. And then you say, I can't really. No. If I ask you if you died tonight, you're going to heaven. You say, well, I think so. I hope so. Maybe so. I'm trying to be good. That is wrong. If that's true, then Jesus did not have to come down from heaven as the sinless Son of God and take your place and die for your sins. He didn't have to. That was a wasted trip. But it wasn't wasted for me. It wasn't wasted for my wife, for my sons and my daughters and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. See, we just keep reproducing. Like produces like. Where are we? Number 6. It is so great because it removed the fear of death. Hebrews 2:15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. My wife and I called on Bill and Mim Stout on a Monday night and led them to the Lord. And their daughter married my son. Amen. And I married them. But Bill told me more than once, he said, you know, when I went to bed at night, I was scared because I didn't know if I was going to wake up in the morning. He feared death. And Catholicism will always give you nothing but fear. Nothing but fear. That priest can never tell you that you have eternal life. He's forbidden to tell you that. Can't tell you that. This is the last one. Number 7. It is so great because all other attempts have failed. All other attempts have failed. People have tried everything. In Romans 10:3-4, it says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. Imagine that. Every human being is going about to establish his own righteousness. I'm okay, I'm all right, I'm doing good things. Yeah, you're doing a lot of bad things too. Your eyes are going where they ought not to go, and your mouth is saying things it ought not to say, and your ears are hearing things they ought not to hear, and you're dwelling in it. They're going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Believe in Him. I want to preach tonight about God and His Son. I'm tired of hearing about all the great stars in the evangelical world who write books. Let's talk about God and His Son. And Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Takes me right back to the beginning. How shall we escape? Are we careless? Do we make light of it? Do we have no regard for Jesus? The person and work of Jesus is what I'm talking about. Have you trusted Him as your personal Savior? You need a personal Savior. And Jesus is that person. There is no one else that can save you. There is no other. You die tonight, would you go to heaven? You need to decide. Now, most of you sitting here made that decision a long time ago. And you know that if you died tonight, you go to heaven. There may be somebody sitting here while I'm talking. You listen to everything I said. You walk out of here and you refuse Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You are going to hell the moment you stop breathing. And you can stop breathing on the way home. So I ask you today, you need to come to Christ and trust Him as your Savior. And pastor's going to come, and Jason will probably play an invitation song. Pastor's going to be here down front. You know, he's the one. I'm only here 1 week. But pastor's here every Sunday. And if you need to get saved, you need to get saved today, right now. Not tonight, not tomorrow, right now. Just ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. He'll help you to do that. And you can do that and walk out of here knowing that if I die tonight, I'm going to heaven. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You'd move in the hearts of those. If there be someone here that needs the Savior, needs to make that decision and quit playing games with God, I pray that they'll step out and come and meet Pastor right here this morning. Help them to step right forward and come and do what they know they need to do. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Stand together and sing the invitation hymn. God's spoken to your heart.
Have you any room for Jesus? If you're here this morning, you need to get saved, you want help to get saved, come right out and meet me down the front here and we'll have someone help you. Trust Jesus as your Savior. That's what you need to do. If you're a young person, you're old, doesn't matter. Just step out from where you're at, meet me down in front here. If you're already saved, well, you just sing the song and pray that whoever is lost would get saved this morning, right now. If you need to make that decision, meet me down in front here right now. Number 548. salvation in Jesus Christ. We attempt to do it anyway, right? And that's what good preachers are all about. Let's pray. And on your way out, don't forget to love all your family. And hope to see you again tonight for the service and then the baptismal service following after that. Noah and Melanie are going to get baptized. I hope Dawson will be here for him to be baptized as well. And I'm looking forward to that. So let's pray. Dear God, you are so good to us. Your grace and mercy far exceeds even what is needed, but it is needed. Salvation is needed. And oh, what a great salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending him into this world to die for us and do what we could not do for ourselves. It is wonderful. Keep us safe as we go our way. Give us a good afternoon and a good service and baptism tonight. Pray that you work in a wonderful way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.